Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Welcome to Slammed, a Boston Celtics podcast where we talk about the Boston Celtics and the rest of the NBA at large. But to be very clear, going forward, we're mostly just going to be talking about the Boston Celtics because as the lights go down, right as the pod starts.
Live at TD Garden.
Yeah, look at that. That was very dramatic. If you're watching on YouTube or anywhere else where you watch podcasts, very dramatic. Celtics get through the first round. So in a way, like a very celebratory night, they absolutely destroyed the Heat, played them very much in game five, the way that they played them in game one, took them down 118 to 84. To me, and I just wrote this for WEEI.com, there's a bigger story overall about what this team is going through and what they're going to have to go through with their path back to the Eastern Conference Finals. But for and then eventually the finals. But for now, very nice. They get to get past the boogeyman who kept them out of the finals last year, even though some of them were on the bench. So I'm Megan Onalini, by the way. That's Esteban Bustillos from GBH. Justin Turpin from WEEI and Odyssey is also going to join us in a couple of minutes, but he's got a live hit that he's got to call into EEI. So for now, just the two of us. But we promise that we'll get Justin in a little bit. The first thing I want to talk to you about there, Esteban, is Derek White, because the way that he has finished off this series, starting with the career-high 38-point game in Game 4, and then the performance he had tonight where he was just blazing hot to start. Like, you know, he looked like he could put up something in the 40s tonight, finished with 25 points, shot 61%. Do you think that this is a sustainable Derek White that we can see? And what do you think is different about him right now?
I don't know. You know, we talked about this too in the last pod. I don't know how much is different. He's hitting his stride right at the perfect time. I mean, 50% from three tonight. Some of that is that, you know, they're getting him on some really good looks. Some of it is that, you know, people are in his face, hand right there, and he's hitting them anyways. I think, you know, when you have a player of his caliber as kind of like the third or even fourth option, that's a huge luxury. And he's shined all season, and especially now with the injury situation with Porzingis, I think it's just going to be, we're going to see even more of that as we get into the second round. You know, we'll see what happens with Porzingis' injury going forward. But yeah, this is, I think when they brought him in, I don't know if even, you know, the Celtics brass were expecting this sort of output, because it's phenomenal. It's difficult to have that guy, that kind of guy, as like, again, like your third or fourth option. He's putting up 25 points in a closeout game.
I think we focus so much at this point, you know, at the beginning of the postseason, we've talked so much over the regular season about the addition of Kristaps Porzingis, who we'll get to some updates that we learned tonight. But we focus so much on the addition of Kristaps Porzingis, the addition of Drew Holiday, you know, the extension that Jaylen Brown is getting. the extension that you expect Jason Tatum to be getting, the Supermax deals, and you see Brad Stevens get Executive of the Year, and that's what you think of. It's very easy in all of that, in those big moves, to forget that Brad Stevens brought in Derek White as that trade deadline acquisition a couple seasons ago when Ime Udoka was the coach. And I think he showed a little spark the first time he hit the court with the Celtics, but it was really hard for, at least for me, to think like, okay, here's a guy who's gonna not just replace Marcus Smart, but look better than Marcus Smart. At times look more electric than Drew Holiday. And Drew Holiday is, you know, that's an all NBA defender. That's an all-star. And so what he's been doing and just the way that he finished the series, I think is just such a high note for the Celtics. And I think they've really just continued to develop him in an incredible way. I did love in the post-game press conference with Joe Mazzulla, reporter asked him about him. And the first thing he said was very Bill Belichick. Like, he goes, yeah, Derek White, he's a point guard. He went on to say some like very gracious things about him, but it was just, I was like, uh-huh. You spent a little time with Bill at training camp last year. And now this is, these are the kind of answers we're going to get a little bit of, huh?
Yeah. That's astute. He's kind of taken that, very,
Belichick. Dry approach, yeah.
Right. Looking at tonight specifically, Mago, I mean, what do you think was the biggest game? I mean, sort of the big thing I thought of heading into the game was like, stop everybody but Bam, because Bam's going to get his points, and he still did, but they also kind of slowed him down. I think in the third quarter, which he didn't play in the fourth at all, I think I wrote down he had 2 points after I believe getting 21 heading into that. So that first half he was able to do sort of what he wanted more or less offensively, and then they, I think, a mix of exhaustion and then just him having to be the centerpiece of this team, it really hurt Miami. What did you sort of see from Boston tonight?
So I think it's a good place when you bring up Bam. Bam played, he finished the night with 36 minutes. The way that I was sitting next to Terp in the press box and we're watching it, like, they can't take him out of the game. You know, if they take him out of the game, it's a full surrender. It's waving the white flag because he's involved in every action on offense. And, you know, I think that the game was over basically at the end of the first quarter, to be honest. But it's an interesting way to turn to talk about what they did with the big situation. And we'll get to the Kristaps Porzingis update, but just the way that they handled it tonight, with Al Horford basically being tasked with Adebayo for the most competitive points of the game, if you can even call them competitive. I guess like when you're playing all out, it was Al Horford on him. And I thought Al did a really great job overall. And then they put in Luke Kornet for like 18 minutes. We got to see a little bit of Xavier Tillman, who I like. He's very, very physical, big guy. But it's a little mini preview, you know, that you can see what they're thinking about doing now for a stopgap until Kristaps Porzingis can come back. Yeah, we talked to We talked to Brian Scalabrine about this, including Al Horford, on our afternoon radio show. And Scal basically said that he predicts that Horford is going to have to play, you know, definitely north of 30 minutes per night, but could be as much as 38 minutes. And to me, that's a lot of miles to put on Al Horford before you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so I think it's going to be very incumbent on Luke Kornet to stay healthy and be able to hang out there for, you know, 7-8 minutes at a time. And even for you to be able to turn to Xavier Tillman for maybe like 4 minutes at a time. I thought both those guys looked pretty good tonight. But then again, if when you see Cleveland or Orlando, it's not going to be, you know, this zombie Heat team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at either of those teams, which we'll get more to as we get closer to that series, none of their bigs are as troublesome as Adebayo. I think that's just a fair statement to say. Some good guys there, obviously. Just Bam Adebayo, you know, he's one of the best bigs in the league for a reason, right? On both sides of the ball. And Kornet, you know, specifically, he was sort of used sparingly, you know, in the emergency situation game four tonight, 18 minutes, solid play. And that's all you really need from him. Just do, you know, rebounds, guard the rack. That's all you need. And Al, you know, is able, not as much as someone like Porzingis can stretch the floor. You know, you can more or less go five out with him. Again, like, I think you can't replace Porzingis with those guys, but if you just have them do their job just enough, that'll win you, with the talent on the rest of this roster, that'll win you a series, I think, at this point in the playoffs. And obviously, again, we'll see what happens, but they looked good to me. And again, I just felt bad for Bam, honestly. Like, he played every minute up until the fourth quarter, and that, you're right, like, they couldn't do anything else, but just nobody could replace him. And so finally, as you mentioned, I think that was the white flag heading into the fourth. They finally took him out, because at that point, the game, it was a foregone conclusion, you know.
Because the game was a foregone conclusion, and I, you know, they're up by 30, 31 points at different times for most of the third and fourth quarter, I would have liked to have seen them go a little small, especially when Bam was still out there, just to get the look, just to get the look of what it would be like to have Tatum at the five and see, you know, how that small ball lineup would look in a playoff scenario and maybe work some things out in real time. Now, that could be like an incredibly arrogant idea, but guess what? It's kind of what Joe Mazzulla said that he was doing when he had Porzingis on the perimeter back in those Atlanta games that I was so upset about at the very end of the regular season. You know, it's not like it, the guy hasn't reached into that bag before and pulled this out as a trick. So that's just me saying, like, they're going to have to get really creative, and they're also going to have to be very cautious with Al Horford going forward, because this was a little bit of news that we got right before tip-off, which was Crispy Hayes from TNT. He had the report that Kristaps Porzingis, the Celtics expect him to return if they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Expect him to return if they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. I wrote this. I think "if" is doing like some really heavy lifting in that statement, because well, it's like my perspective, and we kind of chatted about this on the last pod. My perspective is the Celtics should survive the East without Porzingis. They certainly should be able to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals without Porzingis. It's going to be tough. It's going to take a lot of calculating. And again, like I said, caution with Al Horford and a little bit of creativity, but I think they should get back there. What do you make of that report? And just to add a little bit more, he said that, look, the Celtics are ecstatic and happy that the injury wasn't more severe. Kristaps Porzingis is also feeling that way, reportedly, and that they're going to reevaluate once they get through about six games. So, you know, whatever happens in the next series and the series after that, they'll get through about six games and then they'll reevaluate where Kristaps Porzingis is in his rehab. How does that path strike you as being realistic, optimistic? What do you think of that?
As I mentioned in the last pod, I hope that they just have Kristaps like in a cryogenic chamber somewhere here in TD Garden right now. You know, just frozen in time, letting that calf heal, because that's what they're going to need. I think, to be serious, they're probably just like hoping Cleveland Orlando goes to seven, right? And that's game six is in Orlando. They trail 3-2 right now. So that game is Friday. So I'm sure everyone in the Boston locker room is cheering for an Orlando win Friday, just to try to stretch that series out as long as possible, give them, specifically Kristaps, as much time as possible. I think it's just as an observer, as someone who wants to see the best basketball played, I think you hope it's realistic. And I will say, you know, I think for the Celtics' sake, what my concern would be for them is Giannis heals in time, and maybe Milwaukee, you know, can get through New York. If, you know, let's see what happens with Indiana first. because that's the team right now that I know everybody's like, oh, I think the Celtics can get through the East, and I agree. But look, they've only beaten Milwaukee by a combined 6 points in the regular season. That team is, with all the issues that they have, that team is a lot of trouble. And Giannis is even on an earlier timetable to come back if he does. So
yeah, it's like in a gruesome way, it's like the battle of the soleuses, you know. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's the old school soleus injury. This is the new school soleus injury. Who's coming back first? It's the battle of the string bean guys, you know. Let's go.
Yeah. So I think it's just like, and obviously those, you know, Milwaukee can only meet Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. But yeah, it's like take as much time as possible, because I think whether that's Milwaukee, whether that's New York or Indiana, I think you need Porzingis to get honestly to get through any of those teams, just because of the level that they can play at. Now Orlando, Cleveland, we'll see. I think it's doable, but the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, I think you need everybody. I'm not taking anything for granted in the playoffs, and there's still threats in the water here in the East, to me, for the Celtics.
Yeah, especially with the Eastern Conference Finals, like I guess I had kind of resigned myself already to the expectation that Porzingis was never going to be back before the Eastern Conference Finals, because even if he was healthy enough, I don't know, maybe I'm overly cautious. I would think that with such a big scare and having a muscle that is attached to the Achilles, that they would be overly cautious and say, okay, we're going to basically hold him until the Eastern Conference Finals and then play him just to ramp him up for the finals, so that he's not just going in there totally cold, you know, basically having however many weeks off, like cold and rusty. You can't have that either. And you don't want to be using the Eastern Conference Finals as a warm-up mechanism for anybody, because we've seen that you can't play around with this team in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying that, like, to look on the bright side, it may be a case where the injury really isn't even that bad, but it's a matter of being overly cautious. And on that note, our friend Justin Turpin has joined us. Thank you for making the time after jumping on radio. We appreciate very much. You're in all mediums available to everyone. So we were just talking about the Porzingis timeline that was reported before the game and coming back, hopefully in the Eastern Conference Finals. And to you, does that sound realistic? Does that sound optimistic?
Well, the thing is, I feel like there's just no like confirmation anywhere. Like nobody really knows what's going on. And to me, it sounds like that's just the nature of the injury, where like there's just no telling, because it's probably swelled up a little bit now. But I mean, if you're looking at the Eastern Conference Finals and he's only going to miss this series, I mean, you're going to feel pretty good after watching tonight what Al Horford and Luke Kornet were able to do. And Al Horford, only 22 minutes tonight. Like that's probably the best, most beautiful number on this box score, because you know you're gonna have to make him last. You're gonna have to stretch him out. And Megan, you and I were talking about it earlier, where last year that wasn't the case, where he kind of ran out of gas at the end of last year. So you're gonna have to make him work. And you know, tonight was a good step in the right direction in that sense.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, you don't want to compound the situation by, we're so lucky having watched Al Horford. Like, I think you take for granted the condition that he keeps his body in as a 37-year-old, and the way that he is constantly available, aside from the team's decisions to kind of, you know, not have him play back-to-backs and to use him in a very measured way. But he's still a 37-year-old mortal, you know? So you don't want to compound the situation by possibly running into trouble with another big. I wanted to get to two sneaky little notes before we move on to previewing what we'd like to see happen with the Orlando-Cleveland series and what we'd like to see this team do in the next round. I love this note that this Celtics team held the Heat to under 90 points in the last three games. Do you guys think that is mostly just a reflection of a really hobbled Heat team that got really hot for one game? Or are we kind of underrating the defense that this team is able to play?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
I would say it's both, just to be honest. I mean, you know, obviously they played this entire series. Miami played this entire series without Butler, without Terry Rozier. And then they played without Jaime Jaquez tonight, who has been, I think we've seen throughout, a really key player for this team. Shot 10.3% tonight from the three. Only shot 10 free throws, which is, again, something that we talked about after last game, that they had trouble getting to the line. You know, they just didn't have options. And Boston did a really good job at taking away what few options they did have besides Bam Adebayo. I mean, you know, one of the main objectives, I'm sure, again, stopping Tyler Hero. And then on the other side of the court, hunting him on switches. Anytime, like, Tatum and Brown got Hero on the perimeter, just taking him to the paint, almost for a guaranteed bucket.
Can we take a minute for Hero's outfit pregame and postgame?
Which game? They were all terrible.
I know, but tonight it's like Popeye on ecstasy. Like Popeye's rolling with the club kids.
It was a fitting outfit for his performance tonight.
Okay, I'm glad I'm glad you're saying that, Terp, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm just the oldest person in the world.
No, that was bad.
That is like Popeye got a bad dose of X, you know?
I actually like that comparison. I would have never thought of it, but I love it.
I haven't seen it, so I'll have to, but I trust.
Spare your eyes. I don't know if you want to see it, to be honest with you.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think obviously Boston's defense, we know what it can do, and Miami just, they didn't have any tools. And Bam Adebayo was exhausted. You know, what else could you ask for, you know?
And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I want to real quick on the three-point line. Esteban mentioned the three-point line. In game two, Miami made 23 three-pointers. They made 21 the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy
stuff.
That's just
insanity.
Yeah. Crazy
insanity.
Stuff.
Insanity.
Two other things that I wanted to note really quick. 14 turnovers from the Celtics tonight. Look, they were playing really loose, and I think that's okay given the circumstance. But we've obviously seen Jason and Jaylen in particular really struggle with turnovers. And honestly, Drew Holiday, God bless him. He is so incredible on defense, and he's got a nice three-point shot, but he can be a real turnover machine at times too. And so I just think that's a little number to keep an eye on, because that's certainly not something that you want to be doing much later in the playoffs when you're seeing more competitive and physical teams than the one that you did in this series. And the other one, Terp, did you have the final stats for Jaylen Brown from the free throw line? Overall, I had to say this team with the free throws, I don't know what's going on, but it's clearly something. It's like some kind of little mini virus that's running through the team right now. And I'd love to see them figure it out.
And we were talking about it, Megan, that in practice, like, Jaylen Brown's simulating like legit game free throws. And you mentioned the point that you really can't simulate a an arena, but he's got the coaches and the player development staff lined up in the lane, and he's going through those shots. And even tonight, he was out there for a little bit longer than usual working on free throws. So I started to wonder if it's kind of a mental thing for him right now. And I think it's easy to let that thing like kind of track in, like let that become a mental thing. And I'm starting to wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because you look at Boston's shooting splits tonight, 54.5. Fantastic. 40%. Fantastic. 66.7 from the free throw line. You know, this is a blowout win, not something you really have to worry about tonight, but 66.7% in an Eastern Conference Finals and an NBA Finals game, that can lose you a game. You know, you need those free points. Those are free throws. You get those are the simplest, easiest points to get in basketball. And you need a higher shooting percentage from the line as a team, to win those big games. So yeah, that's something that also stood out to me as a concern, even in, again, a blowout situation like this.
So the final number for Jalen was 9 of 20. That's 45%.
Yikes. And it was worse than that earlier in the game, as we were talking about during the game, Terp. So, we're getting into late night zone. They're slowly turning off the lights here at TD Garden.
The power's still on, which is good.
Yeah. So the last thing I had to say, I know we're all mostly rooting for the Orlando, as Esteban was just talking about, the Orlando-Cleveland series to go as long as possible to give, you know, a little more rehab time to Kristaps Porzingis and stretch it out, let this team stretch their legs a little bit and relax. But if you guys sitting here today looking at those two teams, to me it's pretty clear who I would prefer them to see in terms of an easier road. To me, it's Orlando. I think Orlando has played Cleveland incredibly well, and both of these teams in the regular season have been a challenge for the Celtics. The Celtics are 2-1 against both of these teams in the regular season, and they both match up a little bit differently. I'm just a lot, honestly, I don't know. It may be that I've watched more Cleveland. I'm just a lot more afraid of Donovan Mitchell than any of the other guys on any of these rosters. And Darius Garland and Caris LeVert, I think, are a little bit more nails, especially when things are coming down to the buzzer, then people tend to give them credit for because of where Cleveland has, you know, sat in the standings behind Boston and Milwaukee. What about you guys?
I'm actually going to go opposite. I think I'm a little more concerned about Orlando. I think Paolo Banchero is a difficult matchup for anybody on Boston. Like his particular set of size and skill, you know, like it's unique in a way that I don't know how great of a matchup that is defensively. A similar situation with Franz Wagner. And Cleveland's sort of, you know, maybe intentionally tried to get that matchup, and it's like, oh, we're good here, right? And they're not. Like, I mean, they won, but like this was not what folks were expecting, at least heading into it, that it would be this sort of close series. So I'm sort of like a little more concerned Orlando. They're young. They don't have anything to lose. They have a lot to prove. They're talented. I think they could shock some people in this first round series.
One thing you're getting with both teams too is length and physicality, and that all starts with Cleveland. It's Evan Mobley, and that's kind of somebody I'd be worried about, who's been fantastic for them this series. But just glad to look this up out of curiosity, because I had this feeling that Donovan Mitchell is a Celtics killer, and the doctor confirms that he is a Celtics killer. Since 2018, he averages 29.6 points per game against the Celtics. That's the most in the Eastern Conference, third most in the league behind just Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. So he is a Celtics killer, confirmed. But the Celtics, for the most part, have handled Cleveland well. I mean, think about that one loss. Dean Wade hit, 9 threes in the fourth quarter. Is that going to happen in the postseason? I don't know. Miami did it in game two, so I guess anything's open. But I think I'd rather see Orlando as well. I think Orlando's just a younger team. And Mitchell and the Cavs were there last year. Like, they went to the second round against New York, and, you know, they've been there, and that can't say the same about Orlando. That's just a young team. So I'd much rather see Orlando in this series if I'm the Celtics.
All right. Well, I think you'll be okay against Cleveland as long as your free throw shooting doesn't get even worse because you have someone turned. I'll make them both. because that is what I will always associate.
That's one of my favorite moments of memories of Grant Williams.
The highs and lows of the Grant Williams experience. Okay, well, they're slowly pulling down different pieces of the arena now. So I think that does it for us here at Slammed. I'm sure that once we know what the matchup is going to be in the next round, that we'll do a little preview that we're feeling about that series. But for now, congratulations, Celtics fans. You got past the first round, and that's more than the Bruins did last year. So you can hang your hat on
maybe
that.
This year. We'll see.
Maybe this year. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Well, that's Slammed in. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.